The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 28th through Sunday, November 3rd, 2024. The commentary for September was written by Joseph Yu, vicar of Mosaic Episcopal Church, a church plant in the Diocese of Texas. He is also the author of When the Saints Go Flying In. The commentary for November was written by Jazzy Bostock, a Kanaka Maoli Episcopal priest, farmer, wife, and foster mom. She lives and works in Waianae, Hawaii. The commentary for Monday, October 28th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 17. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Here's the commentary. I once had the pleasure of spending a week in Costa Rica. I couldn't help but be drawn to the simplicity of life and romanticized about retiring there and living a simple life near the beach. Life can be simple, I thought to myself. It's meant to be simple. Confucius once said that life is really simple, but we insist on making it complicated. I think that applies to our faith journey. Following Jesus is simple. Love one another. Simple and straightforward. The problem comes when we respond with, but what you really mean, Jesus? What do you really mean by one another? But who is my neighbor? But what about? And so on. We insist on making following Jesus complicated because of our desire to qualify who Jesus meant by one another. How much simpler our faith journey would be if we followed Jesus' simple commands. Following Jesus is simple, but it's not easy. The things that truly transform lives never come easily. May we continue to follow Jesus by loving one another the way he loves us. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this Monday, October 28th. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 17 through 27. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that this is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. And the moving forward question for this Monday is there something you're complicating when the solution is simple? The commentary for Tuesday, October 29th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 28. But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." How do you bless someone? I have always wondered about this question. The term bless is rather general and often subjective, so it can mean many things. For instance, in the South, bless your heart is code for an insult. Someone helped me understand blessing in a more tangible way. To bless someone is to help them breathe a little bit easier, even for a second. The new perspective has helped me be more intentional about blessing my neighbors. The blessings can be as small and trivial as sending someone an uplifting text or picking up a coffee tab, to as grand as rebuilding someone's home after a storm damage. We are invited and called to be a blessing. Whenever we make someone's life slightly better, we're following God's word and command. And it's cyclical. Oftentimes, when we bless someone, we end up being blessed, too. And now the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 27 through 36. While he was saying this, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. And see, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, how will you bless someone today? Now the commentary for Wednesday, October 30th, it begins with a passage from Luke 11, verse 38. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Here's the commentary. Too often we let rules get in the way of faithful living. I think this is because religion, at its worst, is wielded as a powerful tool to control people. And it is easier to control people than it is to love them. It is easy to hide behind rules and religion. It makes things nice and easy, and you know where you stand, and more importantly, you know where they stand. I'm a firm believer that grace trumps theology. Grace is messy and unpredictable, scandalous even. While rules may seek to control people, grace seeks to love and accept people. Love is harder than enforcing rules, but love is the way that leads to true transformation. And now I'm going to read the full passage again from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 37 to 52. While he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him, so he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are all full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give for alms those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds, and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced, without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love to have the seat of honor in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without realizing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us too." And he said, "Woe also to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not lift a finger to ease them. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your ancestors killed. So you are witnesses and approve of the deeds of your ancestors, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that this generation may be charged with the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be charged against this generation.' Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday: what rules do you break in service to God and to neighbor? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, October 23rd. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 7b. "Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." We were developing some needed best practices for the administration of church life. The process meant some changes in roles that certain parishioners had held for years. One particular person was anxious because the new structure would diminish her role. I later learned that it was less of a control issue and more of a worth issue. She was retired and on a fixed income, and she felt this position in the church was the best way to earn her place in this community. If I was lessening her role, I was lessening her worth and value. I told this to her, and I tell this to you. Your value and worth is not determined by what you bring to the table, what you produce, or on what you do. Your value and worth come from you being you, a child of God whom God deeply loves and is pleased with. Friends, you are loved by God. Nothing you say or do will make God love you less or more. You are loved because you bear the image of God. May you never forget that. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke. This is chapter 11, verse 53 through chapter 12, verse 12. "When he went outside, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile toward him and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled on one another, He began to speak first to his disciples, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees," that is, their hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they bring you before the synagogues, the rulers, and the authorities, do not worry about how you are to defend yourselves or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that very hour what you ought to say. And the moving forward statement or advice on this Thursday is, dear friend, know that you are deeply loved and that you are God's beloved child. Now we begin a new month as we turn to the commentary for Friday, November 1st, which of course is All Saints' Day. It begins with a passage from John 11, verse 32b. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How easy it can be to blame someone for tragedy. Mary does it with Jesus. I sometimes do it with my wife, siblings, or parents. Sometimes I even do it with God. Something doesn't go as I wish, and I lash out in anger and blame. In this story, we see the good news that in Jesus, even what we assume to be tragedy can be the beginning of a miracle. Mary assumes Lazarus' death is the end and assumes that after death, God has no power to act or intervene. But Jesus is stronger than our imaginings and cannot be stopped, even by the power of the grave. What end are you grieving prematurely? Might there be a way to invite God into it and witness a miracle? And I'll read the full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And the moving forward statement for this Friday, All Saints Day, is see signs of God moving all around you, even in places you assumed you were alone. Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, November 2nd, which of course is All Souls Day, the day on which we celebrate all the faithful departed. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 48. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Every week as a communion hymn, my congregation sings Kanaka Waiwai, an old Hawaiian hymn based on the gospel story of the young rich man asking Jesus what he needs to do to get into heaven, and Jesus responding that he needs to go and sell all of his possessions. Every Sunday, the hymn brings me close to tears. The people in my congregation are not rich. Many are on food stamps or receiving housing aid, and yet they are the most generous community I have ever been a part of. Being entrusted with wealth isn't just financial or material. I think it also applies to being entrusted with care for God's creatures, children, or parents, or being entrusted with much faith, generous hearts, or a great attitude. My congregation reminds me that wealth can be many things, but no matter what you are wealthy in, these riches are a gift from God, and we praise and honor God with how we use them. And now I'll read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 48. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and if he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. That slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself or do what was wanted will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. And the moving forward question for this All Souls Day, November 2nd, is what do you have much of, and where is your wealth? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, November 3rd, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love is the most potent force in the world, stronger than hate or fear or evil or even darkness. Love has the power to shape and transform our lives. If we love God, truly love, as Jesus asks, with everything we have, then we will be changed by it. The force of that love will shape our lives, relationships, and interactions. I think that's why it's the greatest commandment. When we start from a place of love, everything else falls into place. Starting from a place of love makes it inconceivable to cause hurt or pain to another of God's creatures. Though it might sound hard to love God in this way, with everything we have, we can start where we are. Love grows, so start small. Love God with everything for just a few minutes. Or love God with a little part of you for today. And then, trust. Love grows. Now the passage from Mark chapter 12. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.